Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Save big money on your next painting project with Menards. Get a paint that combines gorgeous color and durability. Dutch Boys Platinum Plus is a paint and primer with a protective finish that guards against scuffs, spills, and stains. Get $15 off instantly on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on Dutch Boy and Purdy products. Now through March 8th. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
The Bird Show.
All right, let's get April on here. She wants some closure here, and she deserves it. There are some people, I do feel like this happens to more than others, where you date somebody, and then you're like the setup person. You date somebody, you get broken up with, and then the next couple of months or in a year, the one you break up with is getting married. And it happens over and over and over to the same person.
Yeah, that's like a movie. I can't remember what it's called, but you're somebody's good luck charm.
So this is what happened to April here. And she's wondering, like, what happened? Hey, April.
Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, you don't sound happy.
You tired, boo-boo.
What's the matter, booby?
Well, I mean, I appreciate you guys taking my call. I was in a relationship for 6 years, and I patiently waited for a proposal that never came. And as time went by, I had set a mental deadline for the relationship to move forward.
The line in the sand is what I call it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And just before that quote unquote line in the sand day, my partner ended things with me.
I'm sorry.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But what's more shocking is that just like 4 months later, after our breakup, he got engaged to someone else.
4 months later?
Okay. 4 months. Yeah.
All right. So, maybe I'm being pessimistic. Maybe it's sort of common sense and this might be hurtful to hear, but don't you think that he might have been seeing somebody on the side before the breakup, maybe?
Right. And so this whole thing has left me just like completely reeling with a bunch of mixed emotions. Like I'm so confused. I feel really betrayed. It's really affected my lack of self-esteem. And you're right. I can't help but wonder, you know, what she has that I didn't or what I could have done differently. And I also can't help but wonder, you know, if he had something going on with her before we broke up.
I'm assuming y'all had conversations in the relationship about marriage or why he would or would not marry you. How did those go? What did he say?
You know, we did talk about it. We talked about it here and there, but there was never any action towards, you know, let's go look for a ring or what have you. But there was nothing there, you know. So after our breakup 4 months later, I was just... You know, I was honestly so shocked.
I bet. Well, we'll have answers for you here in a couple of minutes, but let's go through a couple of things here. So now it could be possible, because you think worst case scenario, that I bet he was seeing somebody. It could be also that when you guys broke up, he just found whatever that one is. And, you know, the old cliche, when you know, right? So is that possible?
He went from a 6-year relationship of non-committing to within 4 months engaged to another woman. Like, that's drastic.
It almost feels spiteful. Like he wanted you to realize that that was the situation for some reason. But, I mean, I guess it is possible.
I'm going to be rarely optimistic. I honestly think maybe he just found the right person for him. This is something people have been talking about on TikTok recently, about the timeline it takes for men to figure out who the right person is for them. And the timeline has honestly been like 6 months, but even some guys have come out and been like, well, it took me 3 months, 2 months to figure out who this person was the right one for me. So I think it might just be that he genuinely loved you enough to stay for 6 years, but really maybe it wasn't a forever relationship. It was just a love for 6 years.
Gosh, then you sort of have a responsibility at some point, right? Before a woman or even a dude like gives 6 years of their life to you. If you know in the first year, why string it on, right?
I think some people don't realize that there can be more out there because it does sound like you guys had a lot of love for each other for 6 years. And when you have love for someone, the obvious answer isn't, well, I should just break up with them unless there's something drastically wrong. So I think it's fair to say that it was honestly just more comfortable to stay in the relationship because he did enjoy it.
All right. So this closure call is a little bit different than what we usually do because Tommy just told me that you had questions for the woman that he ended up getting engaged to.
Yeah. So I do have so many questions that I want answers to, but I want them from her.
Okay. Why her and not him?
Well, I know that he won't give me any answers and he'll just be vague, you know, even if he would talk to me about it. So I'm curious if you can contact her and ask her my questions.
Yeah, Abby, if you got a DM from your fiance's ex in the similar situation, would you be forthcoming with information?
100%.
You would?
Really?
I'm a girl's girl, you know? And if it's going to make you feel better, because honestly, I have a lot of respect for anybody that my partner has dated previously because they chose me. They also chose these other people. So we got to have something in common, right? And if it's going to make you feel better and give you the closure to be able to leave us alone for the rest of our lives, I will happily DM with you for a couple of minutes.
All right. April, Tommy was telling me here that you had 5 or 6 questions. We've already reached out to her and we already got answers. But what were the questions that you asked real quick?
Yeah, there were a handful.
What's that?
So my questions were, when did your relationship with him begin? Was there any overlap with our relationship? Was he emotionally available right from the start of your relationship, or did he seem affected at all by our recent breakup? Do you know why he decided to propose to you so quickly after our breakup? A couple more. Was he open about his past relationship with me when you two started dating? Did you know about me and how long we had been together? Has he shared with you his reasons for ending our long-term relationship? Did he mention any unresolved issues or regrets from our relationship that I should be aware of? And then lastly, I know there's a lot, do you have any insight that might help me understand why our relationship didn't lead to an engagement?
Okay. Oh, that's a handful right there.
That's more than a handful.
Yeah, that's a handful. So, Tommy, you can take it from here. You reached out to the fiance. How many of those did she answer?
Well, let's just say I got a response.
Okay. I don't really know what that means, April, but we will find out here in just a couple of minutes if you want to hang out, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Next on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, so Tommy, before I even get April back on here, did the fiance answer all of the questions, or is it just one that we're going to focus on?
She didn't answer any of the questions.
Okay. Mm. All right, so April called us up a couple of days ago and said that she had been dating a guy for 6 years, was waiting for him to propose, and had one of those line in the sand days. It's not really an ultimatum. It's just a date that if this dude doesn't propose by this date, then I am out of here. He clearly isn't ready, but he doesn't even know about this line in the sand. And we kind of feel like it's fair. If you say to him or he says to you that marriage is important to me, and he knows that, or she knows that, and it doesn't happen in a certain amount of time, at some point or another, you got to say, okay, I just spent 6 years with this dude. I'm moving on. I can't wait for him. And so that's what she was doing. And right before her line in the sand day, he broke up with her, and then 4 months later ends up engaged to somebody else. So clearly, April has questions. So when we do these closure calls, it's usually Tommy, our studio and show director, calling the other person and getting those answers from that person. In this case, April had a whole bunch of questions lined up for the fiance. So before we get into those responses or her response, April, can you go through the questions one more time, one by one?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, when did your relationship with him begin? Was there any overlap with our relationship? Was he emotionally available right from the start of your relationship, or did he seem affected by our recent breakup? Do you know why he decided to propose to you so quickly after our breakup? Was he open about his past relationship with me when you two started dating? Did you know about me and how long we had been together? Has he shared with you his reasons for ending our long-term relationship? Did he mention any unresolved issues or regrets from our relationship that I should be aware of? And lastly, do you have any insight that might help me understand why our relationship didn't lead to an engagement?
Okay, so my initial thought when you gave those questions to Tommy is that once she gets those, she's going directly to your ex and is saying, you're not going to believe what is happening here. And then he's probably going to dictate if she's, quote unquote, allowed to answer the questions or not.
Well, I feel...
No? Okay.
So we were talking before and I asked Abby, like, you know, you're engaged to a man. His ex reaches out to you and asks you these questions. Would you be open to answering them? And you said yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have to have respect for the people that they dated prior to you because you're in the same dating pool. Like, I mean, these aren't like these evil villains that your ex or your partner spent these years with. They're real people.
But would you go to your fiance and tell him before engaging in conversation with her?
100%. Yeah. I think that's the respectful thing to do.
Yeah. I would tell whoever I was seeing at the time, and then we would make that decision together. But my instinct would be, I am not risking my current for my ex. So I'm probably being real cautious about that.
I would probably not even bring it up to the person that I'm with and not even answer it and leave the past in the past because I don't want to jeopardize my current situation either.
All right, so April here has been sitting here waiting, and she knows that there's been a response. So show director Tom, you want to take it from here?
Well, in some ways, a lack of response because, like I said, no questions that she asked just now are being answered. But it's not because she's given the cold shoulder. It's more along the lines of Abby. She's totally open to this, and she's actually very empathetic in her response. So I reached out to Kelsey. I explained closure call, the entire situation, sent her April's questions, and she wrote back. And kind of like what I'm saying, what she had to say was a bit surprising. She said, I've been in her shoes and needed closure before. So I totally can relate to how she's feeling. It took me a long time to move on from a past relationship that felt unresolved. So I'd like to help her move on if I can. I've read through the questions you've shared on her behalf. It's a lot to take in. And honestly, each question carries a weight that I feel deserves more than just a typed response. Email responses can sometimes feel a bit cold or impersonal, don't you think? So here's what I propose. How about she and I meet up for a casual drink or dinner?
Wow.
Okay. I think it would be much better to talk about these things face to face. It'll give us both a chance to have a real conversation where we can chat openly and honestly. I want to be clear, though, there might be some things I'm not fully comfortable diving into or might not have all the answers to. But I'm willing to share what I can. And hopefully it might offer some clarity or closure for April. Let me know what she says. Thanks, Kelsey.
Well, unless I'm not seeing something here, this seems like a very kind thing to do.
Yes.
It does. It does. But April, how does that make you feel? Like, I understand wanting to get answers, but if I were you, I'd want to get answers from a distance. That's meeting face to face with your ex's fiance. That's a lot.
I mean, objectively, the email was very kind.
Yes.
I don't know. It brings up more emotions of is she nice?
I think there's something else going on here. I think the fiance wants to meet up with you to get clarification on the timeline. Because I think now maybe you've raised a red flag.
Whoa. 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 I didn't even think
right?
About that.
like, oh, what do you mean? Was there overlap? I didn't know he was in a relationship recently.
See, this clearly is coming from somebody that hosts a podcast about breakups.
I got trust issues for days, y'all.
Understandably so.
Oh, I didn't even see that coming.
It does seem like a bit much for her to want to meet her. Yeah. I feel like there was something there, but I couldn't think of what, and that makes a ton of sense.
I think you should do it. I think you should go for it.
If you want your closure, this is what you'll do, April.
Hmm. Yeah, I think you're right.
Like, she's setting the parameters on, you want information, she's willing to give it to you, but she's only going to give it to you under these parameters. So are you willing to accept her conditions?
I think so. Maybe a coffee. Maybe yes. Not a drink. Yeah.
I'd keep alcohol out of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I would keep alcohol out of it for sure.
Quite the opposite for me.
Need a drink.
April, when you decide what you're going to do, can we follow up with you on an email and then follow up with you after you talk to her face to face?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I really appreciate your help.
You have to.
Yeah, I know, right? We will find you. All right, April. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon.
The Burt Show.
Kristen is proving to us every industry has a dark side.
And this week, we're going to do the dark side of convenience stores.
Oh, fun. Oh, it's going to be fun.
I found this list on Ranker of the creepiest, weirdest convenience store stories. I was like, is it convenient store or convenience? And it's convenience store, by the way. So, your first one. I worked at a small convenience store.
So not a Buc-ee's. No, it is not a Buc-ee's. It is a small one. I didn't eat good stuff from Buc-ee's. Maybe next time I will do strictly Buc-ee's and see if I find anything. But they seem to be like an upstanding, an upstanding business.
Wasn't Tommy telling us like last week, like, didn't you travel 45 miles outside of your way to go to a Buc-ee's one time?
Yeah, there's one like 50 miles from my house. I'll go there just for the brisket.
So it's that good.
The day I told you about it, yeah. I came back and told Katie and Rebecca, because the exit I get off on to go home was a little crowded, and you have to get over and weave over. I thought about just keep on going. Go to that Buc-ee's.
That place is so good, you just get up and travel 50 miles for
and
it.
To talk about how nice this place is, you know how much they pay their managers and stuff? Like six figures.
What?
Yes. What? There's a sign outside every Buc-ee's that says, hey, you want to be a manager here? Make $150,000.
All right. Really? That's not these type of establishments, yeah, okay?
Don't think I didn't think about it.
Tommy's like, they can just pay me in brisket. It'll be totally fine.
I worked at a small convenience store. They had one of those fry delis that had chicken, corn dogs, burritos, etc. This particular night, I had run out of burritos and chicken. About 5 minutes before I was closing up, a guy walked in and asked for some burritos. I told him I was out of them and that I was just about to close and the fryer was shut down. He walked around the store for a minute. I assumed he was looking for something else to buy. And then he came up to the counter, pulled out a knife, and told me if I didn't cook him some burritos,
damn,
he was going to stab me.
That's what? Serious.
That made me hungry.
I freaked out, but told him I had none to cook. I showed him the freezer, and I told him I would happily cook anything he wanted from it, but I was out of burritos. He looked in, turned to me, and said, you really are out. I replied, yeah. He put the knife away and left.
Okay. Once you get that thought of a specific food in your head, man, it is very hard to shake it out of there.
That's like you with crumble cookies.
Yeah. Or P.F. Chang's, man. Once I get that Mongolian beef in my head, I'll stab somebody.
There's no replacement.
Had a guy in our parking lot doing what looked to be Tai Chi at 1 a.m. He would do the motions, then kick flip off the side of the building and go back to doing the motions. We told him he needed to stop doing that. He goes to the pumps, takes the nozzle off, buzzes for inside pay, chooses a grate of fuel, and splashes it in his mouth.
What the hell?
Oh. He spits it out, chooses another grade, and does it again.
All the grades?
That's when we call the police. Oh, yeah.
The second grade.
He's got that hot tool. Yes. The gasoline.
Wow. Gasoline.
I had a guy come into the gas station where I work, obviously on drugs, but I have a lot of regulars that are addicts, and most aren't violent, just weird. So he wanders around the aisle, occasionally looking over and staring at me for 10 seconds or so each time. After the last customer leaves, he comes up and pulls out a small pocket knife. the Swiss Army knife kind, looks at me and says, I was supposed to do something very bad to you. But I decided not to, I think. All while opening and closing his knife. Then he finally decides to leave.
You think that was burrito guy? Was the same guy?
I don't think, no, it was a different location. A friend of mine found out during a robbery that the emergency button under the counter actually just locks you in the store with a now panicking armed robber. His boss later told him it was to prevent people from getting away. I mean, it did also put in a call to the alarm company, who eventually called the police. But for a good 25 minutes, he really thought he was going to die in there. He did not know when he pushed that panic button underneath.
Of course.
That it was going to lock the doors with him inside with the robber.
Whose idea?
Right.
Yeah, I got so many questions about that.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you're behind the counter, there's a door to get in there also. Mm-hmm. So is that locked too? So you're sequestered from him?
Well, not all convenience stores have that.
Damn. I don't want him in here with me.
You know something else interesting? Some convenience stores will have, like, height measurements on the door going in and out. So on camera, you can see if someone robs it, how tall they are as a suspect.
I never even knew why they did that.
I once saw a man.
Thought maybe that there's a height requirement to get in.
No.
So I would see him and I would just turn around. I would be embarrassed by that.
I once saw a man come in, stare at me for a few minutes, walk into the soda aisle, and slowly pour a 2-liter of Sprite down his pants.
No.
And then he left.
What?
There is not enough brisket in the world to pay me to be able to do this job.
One night, somebody stole all the urinal cakes out of the urinals.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Yeah, probably needed them.
And then the last one for you. Oh, this would be so rank and disgusting. When I was an agent of the law, I got a call one night to respond to the Main Street 7-Eleven for a disturbance. When I pulled into the lot, there was a fair amount of people standing around outside. The store manager came up and told me someone had put a dead skunk in a paper bag, stuck it in the microwave, turned it on high,
the hell?
And left the store.
That's just straight evil.
That's evil.
All right, Jackson Kim, you talk about bad takes.
Yeah.
We might be continuing the bad take here. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Tommy, open up your mic.
I'm ready.
He's going to be more fired up than anybody about it.
I'm ready. Speaking of bad takes, this is just a personal preference of mine.
You know some bad coming when people start like that.
And he actually rolled his sleeves up.
Yes, he did.
I knew this was going to be a battle.
They're not even in the same studio, and he's rolling up his sleeves like he's ready to fight.
All right. I refuse to watch any movie made before the year 2000.
Idiot. Let them make it his reason out first.
I don't even know if it's that great of a reason. And the thing is, the year is pretty arbitrary, but like any movie that like looks old or like has bad effects or anything like that, I can't stand, and it completely takes me out of it, and I can't do it.
Think of all the classics you're missing, though, that back then was like high-tech graphics that suck now, like Star Wars, E.T.
Jurassic Park.
Titanic.
There's no way. There's no way I could go back. The thing is, like, you know, when I was a kid, I watched, you know, Star Wars, and it was fine, whatever, but there's no way that I could go back.
It was fine.
Now.
I mean, it was fine.
Were you born before or after 2000?
I was born in 97.
How would you feel if some girl was like, I don't date dudes born before 2000 because I just can't stand to look at them.
I'd be a little bit worried about her dating record.
Yeah, maybe she's the problem. Yeah.
Listen, someone born in 2000 is 23.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no black and white movie for you.
God, no.
Oh, you see his face? What kind of Christmas movies do you watch? Home Alone?
Elf.
Elf, yeah.
Yeah, that barely makes a cut. Yeah, that was like 2003.
It is 2003.
So again, the cutoff is a little arbitrary, but that's where I sit.
What about like classic movies that the base of them are not really about effects? It's more about the message of the movie, like just some classics.
Rocky.
Something like that, exactly.
What?
I haven't seen
what?
It.
Oh, my God.
I haven't seen it.
To be fair, I haven't seen Rocky yet.
Okay, wait. Let's get this out of the way. This is how I judge people. What is your favorite movie of all time?
Something that came out yesterday.
It hasn't even come out yet. Interstellar is my favorite movie.
Yeah, mine too.
That's solid.
All right. That is my number one.
All right, maybe it's not that stupid a take. Nicole, good morning. You're on The Burt Show.
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you. Please join Jackson Kim in this stupid take.
For context, I was born in 94. And I kind of agree. I can't stand anything that has, like, really bad graphics. I've never watched any of the Star Wars movies. I cannot get myself to watch more than 10 minutes.
Because
I can't do it.
Because the effects are so terrible?
Yeah, like, it's really, really cheesy and really cringy to me.
So, Jackson, is it just movies with effects, or because you're missing out on a lot of movies with a lot of great storylines,
right? So I think I'm coming here also with like a request of maybe like what is the movie that I should give a shot to that'll maybe open up like the gates for me of, you know, movies that I can go and watch, you know.
Pulp Fiction.
My wife Renee just watched that for the first time.
So good.
I can't picture your preacher wife watching Pulp Fiction when the gimp comes out.
Her words at the end of it was like, that's not what I expected.
Most people felt that way.
But Jackson, I think what you should do, Abby's got this new club where she's going out with all these ladies hanging out. I think you should have a listener like the one that called in and get a bunch together and you can have a dumbass movie club.
That doesn't sound as fun as my club, though. Have you seen The Godfather?
No.
Oh, wow. No!
Scarface?
No. Oh,
you dude, need to be schooled.
Yeah.
Goodfellas?
No.
Oh.
I've got work to do. I get it. I'm here. I can admit that. But yeah, there's got to be. I'll go with Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction's a great movie.
That's a great start.
And it came out in 94.
Oh, boy.
Do you feel the same way about books and that's why you haven't read the Bible?
Came out too long ago.
Tell us your take on the Bible.
Effects are terrible.
He's only about that New Testament, not that Old Testament.
The Old Testament is trash.
Out of here.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Can you ask somebody out at work without making it weird? This is a question I posed a couple of weeks ago, or actually I think it was just last week, where I was talking to one of my guy friends who really wanted to make the moves on this lady that he works with, and he asked for my advice, and I said my advice was don't mess up a professional relationship just for the idea that you think that this relationship might work out. But y'all actually came back and said a relationship that starts at work could actually work.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
And I think there's a lot of industries where that's how they meet their significant other.
Right. Yeah, I think the mature thing probably is to not. It's probably the healthier thing not to. But I wasn't thinking. I was just going for it, man.
Your default isn't healthy either, so.
No, it really wasn't.
I've always been torn on it because in my personal experiences, I don't think it's ever worth the risk. But that is how my parents met, and it's worked very well for them.
Okay. If I'm being honest, and that's how my parents met, too. And they had a successful, 20-plus year marriage. So when I was a server, dated people I served with at TGI Fridays, dated people I served with at Merrick Inn. When I started working in minor league hockey, dated somebody in the office at the minor league. When I started in radio, I never dated anybody, but I did other things.
When you were a server, was everybody dating everybody?
Oh my God. Yeah. It was like a meat swap 24/7.
Absolutely.
It was so gross and incestuous if you think about it, but literally everybody dated everybody.
Mm-hmm, same.
We should have just spit in each other's mouths because that's essentially what we were doing.
Okay, you.
Okay. So I took all this advice and I took all of your anecdotal evidence to my friend. And I said, look, I think it's a bad idea, but if you really want to go for it, these are what my coworkers said. And he said, well, actually, I'm going to go for it because we actually talk on the phone every day for 2 hours. And I really feel like there's something. I was like, this is really important information you should have informed me with when coming to me saying that you want to
asked this girl out, then I would have said, heck yes, you talk to her every day. You're already in a relationship.
So just so I have it right, talking on the phone for 2 hours is a positive?
For a girl, I think so. And if you want to date somebody, I think talking on the phone for 2 hours is a sign that you have a good relationship.
That sounds miserable.
I'm with you, but I've had to come accustomed to it being in a long-distance relationship.
When Bart and I first started dating and we were doing long distance for that whole 6 months, we did long distance. Yeah, we talked for hours on the phone.
Well, that's different, long distance, if you're not going to see each other for a while. Yeah. But if it's a day-to-day, 2 hours, I'm talking, and we're saying talking, we're not talking texting. We're saying, like, literally talking with words on the phone.
And Abby, they're talking for 2 hours on the phone and then seeing each other at work the next day.
Oh, well, God,
So, like, let me give you some context. So they actually both work remotely. So my friend lives in Atlanta and his office's headquarters are in Chicago. So he's up in Chicago a lot for work and he'll see her in person there.
Okay.
And so they'll do like meetings over Zoom and stuff. And I guess they just talk all the time on the phone after work. It's a very confusing relationship that I don't totally understand. And so when I got that update, I got some good news. And then later on, I got some bad news. So he informed me that they had that relationship where they were talking on the phone all the time. And apparently when they go out together, they have a really good time. And all of their other coworkers definitely seem to think that there's some chemistry there. It's been brought to his attention that everyone thinks that this would be a really good match. And so I'm thinking like, okay, all right, like here we go. So he informs me that he made plans to fly up to Chicago in a couple of weeks to, of course, be there for work, but also, you know, take this lady out on a little date. Okay. And I said, okay, did you like ask her out directly? And he goes, no, I just said like we should meet for drinks because that's what we normally do. And I said, no, you got to tell her that this is going to be a date. You need to make it as blatant as possible that you have romantic intentions for her. And he goes, okay. So he hangs up. And I guess at some point he asks her out between our next, that conversation and the next one. And then he gives me a call back and he is panicking because I guess this girl has dated some other dude at the office used to date a guy who worked at their Chicago office for a while, and I guess the relationship didn't end well. So then she gave him the excuse, well, you know, I really like you, but I just am really nervous about dating somebody at work again because I already did it and it's just been so hard. And then my friend goes, can you just be honest with me? Like, if you don't like me, just be clear. She straight up said this, just be clear and in my misery, because I really like you. I think I see a future with you. I think this could be something really great. I really do see this working out. Like, we talk on the phone every day for 2 hours. Like, we're practically dating.
So he pushed all in. He put it all out there.
Yes. He was like, just put me out of my misery, because then I can move on if you just shut the door.
It's so off-putting, though, saying that, because now you're literally saying to her, like, I know you're not telling me the truth, which she could interpret as, okay, so now you're calling me a liar, and this could escalate quick.
Yeah, but women lie all the time to get out of this kind of stuff. It's because they think that they're not hurting their feelings by saying, oh, well, it's not you. It's just because all of this trauma I have. No, you just don't like him, and just be honest. You're not making it any easier for him.
Nuh-uh, I'd rather be lied to.
You want to be lied? Yes. I hate that.
Don't take it. Couldn't be me. It has to be something else.
Nah, tell me the truth.
Clarity is kindness. And so I guess he just kept pressing in on saying, just can you just tell me that you don't like me and we can move on? And she goes, no, it's not that. Like, I really do like you, and things would be different if we didn't work for the same job. And so now he gets off the phone with her and he calls me in a panic saying, like, what do you think this means? And I was straight with him. I was like, I think she's lying to you. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she has the balls to be clear with you. Again, this has been my motto for like the last 4 months. I just don't understand why people can't be adults and have a conversation and just say what they mean. I don't understand why we play games. I don't understand why we hide our true emotions. Life would just be so much simpler if you just had the courage to have the 10 minutes of uncomfortableness, and then everything else will get better from there. You only make the tension worse when you don't say how you really feel.
Two things here. So I made this analogy a couple of days ago. I think if life was a 20-story building, most people emotionally live on about the 7th floor or 8th floor. So having like adult conversations and working through that kind of tension, it's way up there on the elevator. They're not even capable of doing it, right? And the second thing is, if somebody really likes you, the circumstances don't even matter.
Yeah.
That's why I don't think she's, that's why I think she's lying. I think if I'm in a position and I work, let's say we hire some Jim Halpert looking hottie and he asked me out. I'm not saying, oh no, he can't date him and ruin the show chemistry. No, I am dating Jim Halpert because I think he's hot. So I felt like then I was put in a position to be honest with him. I said, I need you to hear it from me because you won't hear it from her. This is your sign that she does not want to date you. So you need to shut down anything in your mind that tells you that this is a possibility because it is not. And the most attractive thing you can do right now, if you ever do want her to come around and like you at some point, which I don't think is a good idea to pursue, then it's more attractive for you to just move on and take what she's saying at face value.
Bingo.
Yeah. Agreed.
You nailed it.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway, he's heartbroken.
Bless his little heart.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Thinking about getting in the radio. Let's break you that idea. We're looking for interns.
Yes, we need interns starting January 6th will be your start date for the spring semester. So if you'd like to intern with The Bird Show and gain valuable radio experience to further your future career, just go to thebirdshow.com.
The Bird Show, now playing on your phone.
Get our app. Search Q99.7 Atlanta at the Apple and Play stores.
The Bird Show. Spotlight on Abby.
Cringe is temporary, but regret is forever.
Bert, Kristen, Mo, and Abby on The Bird Show.
Whole bunch of dudes on TikTok right now calling out women for a stereotype. And unfortunately, Abby is being seen right now.
Yeah, I don't think I know. I fall into a gender stereotype that is not allowing me to rep women well. So, like, have you ever ended up on incel side of TikTok where it's just like a bunch of men with microphones with all their little misogynistic takes? Like, you watch one Andrew Tate video on accident and then the rest of your For You page is just like horrible takes for days and days. Well, I had ended up getting into a bad news cycle like a couple of weeks ago, and I got on the side of TikTok where it was just men with podcasts with their little bad takes, and then women stitching in, and me kind of getting into this deep hole of listening to what men had to say. And I think I get kind of morbidly curious about what's going on in their little brains. You know, like, what do they really think about men or women when we're not around? And there was this one TikTok video that was going around with one of those takes, and I had seen it going viral like months and months back, and it was kind of having a resurface on my For You page. And it was a couple of different podcasts with this same exact take. And the first time I had seen this going around, I'd kind of ignored it because I didn't think much of it, didn't think it really applied to me. And then it came up on my For You page a couple of weeks ago because a woman was stitching it. And then I saw all the stitches that other women were doing with it. And
for those that don't know what a stitch is, if you're not on TikTok.
So on TikTok, basically, you can attach your video to somebody else's video. So if I have a video where I'm like, tell me what your favorite color is, somebody can stitch that part and just keep the part where I'm saying, what's your favorite color? And they can stitch me with a video that says, my favorite color is aquamarine because it reminds me of my grandma's pool or something like that.
It's very fascinating stuff.
Yes, it really is. And especially when you get on incel side of TikTok. And so this take that was going around was basically men saying that women, most women, are boring because they don't have hobbies. And I was like, wrong. I have hobbies. And all these
Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are not a hobby.
Listen, believing in love is a hobby if you want it to be.
Okay.
Abby's like, wrong, man. I have hobbies and I'm still boring.
So it was all these women basically explaining what their hobbies were. And it was all these baddies like showing videos of them being equestrians and like cakes that they've baked and competitions that they've won and novels that they've written. And I was like, wow, women are great. What am I going to stitch with them to show that women have hobbies and interests and are awesome and have hobbies? And I was like, shoot, I don't have hobbies. I might be just as boring as they're claiming that I am. Because, like, I was really kind of feeling down because there are all these women, like, doing really cool things, like knitting blankets and just all these incredible feats. And I'm thinking, what do I do every day? And I was kind of like, oh, my God, I live in Groundhog Day. Like, I wake up, I go to work, I work out, I read my little fairy porn books, I go home.
That's a hobby.
Reading's a hobby?
Yes, reading's a hobby.
I thought hobbies were, like, things you had to do. So, like, you create things, you reach goals. To me, reading is sort of like the equivalent of watching TV. Like, I'm doing it for entertainment.
TV's a hobby, too.
TV's a hobby? Yeah.
I know,
and you were wrong then and you're wrong now.
Whatever.
Watching TV is not a hobby.
It's not a hobby.
But it is. But see, that's my opinion. Like, what's really the difference from of me sitting down and watching a TV show versus reading a book purely for my own entertainment? Not like a self-help book of, like, how to be a good leader. Like, you know, fairies banging.
Would you say going to the cinema is a hobby if you appreciate movies?
Going to the cinema.
Why did you just say going to the movies? You trying to put some spice on it?
See, trying to bedazzle it so it qualifies as a friggin' hobby.
Going to the cinema is a hobby. Going to the movies is not.
I actually know what you're saying. Yes. Like, if you go to one of those independent movie houses and you're watching some independent movie, that could be a hobby. You go to AMC, you suck.
I watched Barbie, and that was a hobby. Thank you very much.
Abby, I feel like your overachiever status is showing. Like, a hobby is something that brings you joy that you do, like reading, and it's active. You don't have to have an end result. Like, you don't have to produce the largest blanket. You don't have to bike ride the most number of miles. It's simply something that you do that brings you joy. Bird watching is a hobby.
Listening to true crime podcast is a hobby.
Oh, so
I'm with you here. I don't think we are built this way. Like, if I am doing something, I am doing something to improve on it, for me to look at it at the end of the day and go, oh, I got really good at that, or I won a blue ribbon. I don't understand the whole, like, doing something just for the fun of it and then moving on to work. I don't get it.
It doesn't make sense to me either. And don't get me wrong, there are things I do that I enjoy, but I think when I was watching so many women doing it with, like, these incredible end goals, like, I saw this woman who was an equestrian, and I'm like, that's one hell of a hobby. And here I am just, like, reading Fourth Wing for the fifth time.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I don't know why, but for me, it only feels like a hobby if it has an end goal. Like, if there's some form of completion at the end of it that I've accomplished something, then it feels like a hobby. Whereas watching TV, you're just watching TV.
Yeah, right. I mean, come on now.
How about this for a hobby?
That's like saying sleepy.
No, stop. No.
Right.
Sleeping.
When does it stop if we allow TV to be a hobby?
The dictionary definition of hobby, an activity done regularly in one's leisure time for pleasure. That's the definition of hobby.
I mean, sitting on the couch and watching TV is not a hobby, man.
It is to some.
All right. How about this? You have a very successful podcast, The Breakup Breakdown, that you do in your free time for fun, and you just hit 1 million downloads. How is that not a super impressive hobby?
Because I got a check for it. I don't know. It feels like work to me. Like,
okay,
work.
But if somebody, like, knitted blankets and they sold them on Etsy for fun, is that then not a hobby anymore?
To me, then that feels like work again.
Yep.
I don't know.
Once you get a check, it's not a hobby anymore.
Oh, my God. Well, then you work too much to have a hobby.
Yes. There you go.
Yes.
Who's got time for hobbies, man?
I guess I'll take up Legos like the rest of the incels.
Weren't you also the person that said your kids were a hobby?
Yeah, but I backtracked on that. That was just a sad place I was in that day.
So I have realized that I have allowed myself to be victimized by social media, Instagram specifically. So you guys know, if you listen to the show at all, and you guys certainly know and hear that I try to be health conscious. I'm really into, like, biohacking. I try to put all sorts of supplements and vitamins in my body. My goal is to live to 90 years old, but not 90 where the last 10 or where somebody else is wiping my butt. I want to be, like, healthy and active at least till 85 and then just have that slow decline, okay? So 90 is the goal. So it's interesting when you get on social media, and we've said this a million times before on the show, once you start clicking on things, the algorithm and the internet knows exactly what you want. Exactly. So it keeps giving you, like, info on things to buy and purchase and puts interesting things in front of you that they know you're going to love.
Oh, if you researched it, if you Googled it, it's popping up in an ad somewhere as you're on the internet.
100%. And even though Zuckerberg has said, I don't even know what you guys are talking about. That's not even possible. All of us have come in here with stories before where we might be talking about a green tree. And then within 30 seconds, we have ads about green trees on Facebook or whatever, right? Instagram. So I have realized now in my search to be healthier that I am trying too hard and Instagram is to blame. I told you guys some time ago that I had this stroke in my eyeball. I still can't see out of 1/4 of my right eye, which is okay. It's all right. All right. It's still doable. But as I'm talking to doctors on exactly why it happened, because I don't want it to happen in the rest of my body, if it's just isolated in my optic nerve, I can live with this. If I have a stroke over the next couple of weeks and it affects other things, that's going to bother me.
Yeah.
So I started to do a deep dive and try to figure out why, right? And I realized as I wrote down all the supplements that I have been taking, because I'll see something on Instagram and it makes so much sense to me. I'm like, oh, I got to get that. I buy it. Then a couple of days later, there's some other magic pill or magic supplement. I'm like, that thing is going to make me live to 90. And I do it over and over and over again. So many times that I counted my supplements the other day. 26.
What?
I'm taking 26 supplements. Oh, man.
What are you doing?
What? It's fish oil. It's vitamin A. It's vitamin D. It's, what else do I got on here? I'm looking at the list right now. Yeah. There's stuff on here that I'm taking every day I don't even remember buying.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't even know what it's doing.
And it's not all pills. Like, you put it, like, that collagen shake you bring in here or whatever. That counts, too, right?
I don't have that on the list, but it's mostly supplements. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's another one.
You even got some that didn't make the list.
I'm like, you literally drink this god-awful looking thing every single morning that has stuff in it.
It's bone broth, collagen, and yeah.
Yeah, and that didn't make the list.
That did not make the
list. Wow,
those
okay.
Are not. So I think what happened with my eyeball is some of these supplements were trying to work their way out of my body through my eye.
Yeah.
So I have decided I'm going one by one now and talking to my doctor. I'm like, which one of these things can I get off of? Because I take a multivitamin every day also, which should cover most of the stuff on this list. But when I'm on Instagram and it's telling me I need more of it, I'm like, I don't even remember that I took a multivitamin.
So I'm curious, because whenever I go to the doctor and I get a physical every year, they ask me what I'm taking, not just prescription, but everything like my probiotic, my cranberry pills, all that stuff. And I have my little pill box, and I have like five things I take every
day. Yeah, mine's not little. Mine's like luggage.
I know. Have you not been telling your doctor what you take?
You know, I think I might have been a little lazy about it.
I think you might have been.
Cut a few out.
This, this information, like, your doctor should know this by now.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm probably trying to do it off the top of my head. So I'm like, well, I know I take vitamin D, and I know I take vitamin C, so I'll put those down. But then when I put the entire list down, because I'm really starting to get serious about it, now that I can't see out of 1/4 of my eye, I didn't even realize I was taking this many.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm not even slowly weaning myself off of it. Like, it's all gone.
Is that why you came in here just throwing vitamins at me the other day?
Yeah, I did. Take, right? These. Take this one. Take this one. I'm not using it anymore. This might be the reason why I'm only 5'4 also.
This is what stunted your growth?
This is it.
Okay.
If I didn't take half of these, I'd be 6'2 right now.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.